Good evening, Zimbabwe. It's 17 hours, 20 UTC, 7:20 p.m. in Zimbabwe on Saturday, June 25th, 2016. You are listening to Studio 7 live from the Voice of America in Washington. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Tatenda Gumbo. Here are our top stories this evening. Some teachers say they back moves by civil servant groups threatening to boycott over non-payment.
Ideally, after Monday, things will change for the worse. We are likely to go back to the 2008 Fed game scenario where we are still not going to work if the government continues on the path that they are taking right now.
The Voice, a U.S. contestant Brian Nira, returns from his annual trip to Zimbabwe and tells us all about it.
It was so inspirational for me to see all that they're doing in Zimbabwe. You know, I think that they're taking every opportunity that they have at this moment in time and just running as fast as they can.
And as usual, we focus on issues affecting women. As some members of Zimbabwe's civil servant groups are threatening to engage in a boycott this Tuesday, teachers say they are backing the move as they are fed up with stalled and delayed payments. Government ministers and workers' representatives met Wednesday to discuss the issue, but were deadlocked, resulting in the scheduling of another meeting Monday. A Harare-based teacher who wanted to be known only as Mr. Shumba says only 6 months after December's delayed payments, civil servants are again left to fend for their families due to non-payment. Mr. Shumba says come Monday, he will rally behind structures planning to boycott.
You now have the same government telling us right now, with only a few days before payday, that they are not willing and able to pay. So if that is the case, then civil servants are justified in calling for a strike.
And Mr. Shumba, how are you living day to day without having your salaries? How are you surviving?
I tell you, things have been pretty tough, especially since the beginning of year. You are aware, I'm sure, that in December, the government decided to pay us after Christmas. So we had the hell of a Christmas. We didn't enjoy our Christmas. Then come January, we had to pay school fees for our kids, some who are in boarding school, and it was very difficult for us to pay the school fees because they did not pay us the promised bonus, only to come with the bonus in May. So you can imagine the hell that we went through during the first term to try and raise fees for our kids. You can imagine how difficult it was. You can imagine the kind of Christmas that we had without the promise taking the check. Let me say, currently, teachers are living from hand to mouth. We are in very deep trouble. And I feel very sorry, especially for our urban counterparts. We have to fork a dollar or so every day to and from work. And they have to make sure that they have food on the table. They have rental to pay. They have food. They have there's other bills to take care of. So you can imagine how such a patient will survive. And add on to that, you have somebody telling you, an employer, telling you with a straight face that he is not going to pay you for the next 2 weeks.
How do you still do your work knowing that, one, you're unpaid, and two, our negotiations continue to be stalled?
Let me say, teachers have been patient maybe for this week only because tensions started rising on Monday. So this week we have been watching and seeing the trend that events are going to take. But I tell you, after Monday, we are going to have a very clear picture on what exactly we are supposed to do.
That was Harare-based teacher who wanted to be known as Mr. Shumba, speaking with Studio 7 from Harare. Meanwhile, Zimbabwean government doctors say they will not be able to offer their services beyond the 1st of July unless the government pays them their June salaries before the end of the month. This follows the government's move to shift June salaries for its workers to the end of the month, spilling into July. Zimbabwe Hospital Doctors Association President Fortune Yamande says the outcome of the Monday meeting will decide the position their members will take. Reporter Jonga Kandemiri speaks with Dr. Yamande for more details.
The meeting was supposed to be moved to Tuesday. This has been affected by the fact that we are awaiting the outcome of the negotiations that are taking place what happened is between the government and the Apex Council for policy research and research has included. So the outcome is going to guide the next course of action and the checking.
We understand that the government raised some proposals. What are your members saying about these proposals?
Basically, I think the position by our members is that we are in essential service sector. So for us, it is very difficult for any member of our profession to be away from it for any excuse, whether they do this money for transport or they do this money to defend their school for their families. So basically, our members are just saying we need to, you know, to be accorded that status, that we are in change of things. So we didn't accept any salary that will come in the following month, which is after the month is different at our service.
How are your members taking this position as of now?
Yeah, I think we violated to the government that we will not accept. We definitely not accept getting our salaries. 21 days beyond
the normal
schedule.
That was Zimbabwe Hospital Doctors Association, Zimbabwe Hospitals Doctor Association President Fortune Nyamande in Harare. Musician and The Voice U.S. contestant Brian Nira, who recently returned from his annual trip to Zimbabwe, says this trip left him inspired and prepared to continue his musical journey. Nira, born to Zimbabwean parents in the United States, participated in the popular singing show The Voice before being eliminated in the top 10. I spoke to Nira on his trip, which marked his first return to Zimbabwe after his appearance on The Voice and his first concert in the country.
The trip was beautiful. It was a lot busier than we expected. It was cool because, you know, as soon as we stepped foot in the country and as soon as, you know, word kind of got out that we were there, we had the opportunity to get in contact with so many people that were in Zimbabwe, and more people than we could have ever imagined.
We know you had the concert, you had some radio listenings, you were able to talk to some young people. What were some of the highlights for you?
I think the biggest highlight was the concert that we did on Saturday at the Harare International Conference Center. It was amazing. We had around 1,000 young people come out, young and old, really. And I mean, they just set the house on fire. Then I also had the opportunity to meet some really cool people, like the people at Moto Republic, and then all of the radio stations that we got in contact with. Just amazing.
Talk about the concert. It's a yearly concert that your family does, your parents do. Tell us more about that, and, you know, what was the purpose of this concert?
Yeah, well, the conference is the thing that my parents yearly do. This was the first year that that I actually did like a full-out concert. Mm-hmm. And so, but the conference that we do is for young adults. It's called Equip, and it's really just a conference that's, you know, preparing young people to go out into every arena, every occupation, and to just be the hands and feet of Jesus. And then we had the opportunity this year just to tie in a concert, you know, for everyone who supported my journey in Zimbabwe on The Voice, and then just the opportunity to do my own music, my new music. And it was really, really, really something special.
Mm-hmm. So you did get to meet a lot of the young guys in Zimbabwe that are doing a lot of different stuff. How was that? How was that experience?
Oh, it was amazing. It was so inspirational for me to see all that they're doing in Zimbabwe. You know, I think that they're taking every opportunity that they have at this moment in time and just running as fast as they can and creating just incredible content, incredible creations, incredible media art. And I mean, they were asking me to come inspire them, and I was leaving more inspired than I could have ever imagined.
Now, of course, talking about being inspired, you left The Voice, and you've been doing so much stuff. Talk about what has come out of that experience for you.
Yeah, we're just on a whole nother level. You know, me and the team that I work with, we're just on a whole nother level, and we're moving fast right now. Just everything, you know, the season 10 is over now. And so, you know, all of us, you know, from the season, you know, we're doing our thing. You know, people are touring, people are recording. But specifically for us, we're doing more touring. And we're running fast, and opportunities are coming. And we're just doing our best to be good stewards of them.
Mm-hmm. And with that, what's next for you? We know that you have your album, Hope Stand. That's been out. You've been promoting that. But anything to look forward to for those who are following you, who want more music, who want more content?
Yeah.
What do you have going on?
Yeah. At this point, we're not working on more music, writing a little bit, but you know, we're just performing. That's the biggest thing we're doing right now is performing. I'm back with my band, and we have some festivals and events coming up in around the country. So that right now is what we're specifically focusing on, mm-hmm. and then everything else will follow.
Mm-hmm. And how can people kind of follow you? Of course, we know you're pretty big on social media. Also, where can they find your documentary and get a chance to watch what you did when you were in Zimbabwe?
If you search Brian Nira, you'll be able to find me anywhere. Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, anywhere. Mm-hmm. You'll be able to find me.
Thank you, Brian. And I would be amiss if I didn't end this with asking you to give us a little vocal blessing.
Well, this is one of my original songs. It's called Dream the Dreams. It goes, dream the dreams inside your heart, chase them down with all you got in. Push the limits, cross the lines, tear down the walls that stand in your way.
That was musician Brian Nira speaking with us via Skype in Los Angeles, California. Head over to our website, voazimbabwe.com, to watch this full interview and clips of Brian Nira's documentary on his trip home to Zimbabwe. You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
U.S. Agency for International Development Mission Director John Gorky announced this month a new U.S. contribution of $21 million in food assistance to feed malnourished individuals in Pakistan. The United Nations World Food Program, or WFP, will use the U.S. financial contribution to turn approximately 26,000 metric tons of Pakistani government-provided wheat into fortified flour, which will be distributed to those who need it most. WFP will also use USAID funds to purchase and distribute more than 6,500 tons of food to families, especially in the federally administered tribal areas. The United Nations is committed to combating hunger in Pakistan, but we know we can't do it alone, Gorky said. By working alongside the United Nations World Food Program and the government of Pakistan, we've been able to feed more people, save more lives, and support more communities than any one of us could have achieved alone. Mission Director Gorky announced the new funding at the WFP office in Islamabad, where he inaugurated a photo exhibition with WFP Country Director Lola Castro. The strong and strategic partnership among the United States government, the government of Pakistan, and WFP has made the lives of millions of vulnerable Pakistanis better, especially in areas affected by natural and man-made disasters, Castro said. The generous funding from USAID over the years has improved food security and nutrition, as well as the livelihoods and resilience of those in need. Since 2010, USAID has given nearly $850 million in food assistance to the people of Pakistan. The United States is proud to work with its partner, Pakistan, to help ensure food security for Pakistan's people.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
And now, as usual, it's time for the Women's Forum.
Welcome to the Women's Forum, a forum where we look at issues affecting women. I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye. Tonight, we're gladly joined by the founder of Zimbabwe Women in Politics Alliance, who is also a member of Occupy Movement of Zimbabwe, Linda Masarira. She will be taking us through her ordeal of how she got arrested when she was protesting at the Africa Unity Square. and what her plans are for the future. Welcome to the Women's Forum, Ms. Masarira.
Thank you very much, Marvelous. How are you doing?
You are one of the women that were arrested for staging protests in the Occupy Africa Unity movement. Tell us a little bit, what happened?
What happened is it was on a Thursday. The police actually came and woke me up when I was sleeping on the bench that I was sleeping on. And to be precise, it was the riot police. When they woke me up, I asked them why they were waking me up and what they wanted from me. And the police said that I had been arrested. I asked for the reason of my arrest. They had no reason and they had no charge. So whilst I was refusing to go with them, they manhandled me to their lorry, and it took about 30 minutes for them to get me into the lorry, of which during the process they sexually harassed me because they had to push me. A number of men actually carried me, pushing and shoving me on my backside. And when we got to Arise Central Police Station with the nine other persons that I had been arrested with, we kept on demanding to know why we had been arrested. Unfortunately, no one was willing to tell us why we had been arrested and for what reason. So we were illegally detained for about 30 hours, after which the Friday before we went to court in the evening, they called our lawyer, and that's when they told us that our charge was obstruction of justice. So we were illegally detained, and the situation was very bad at the police station because they kept on denying us basic needs that we needed. Like, for example, there were no blankets, considering that it's winter. Two people had to share one blanket. There was no water. There was no food. The only food available for those people who were waiting to go to court was rotten bread, which is donated by Bakers Inn. So the situation was really deplorable, and it's very inhuman and very unconstitutional.
So what happened to you after Harare Central Police Station?
After we went to court, we were remanded in custody on $500 bail and sent to Chikurubi Female Remand Prison. And upon arrival at Chikurubi Remand Female Prison, the attitude of the prison staff was really terrible because they treat everyone like they're nothing, like they're rubbish. And I think we're saved by the amnesty because blankets were not really a problem. But the real problem that Chikurubi Female Remand Prison was food. The food is not fit for human consumption because they just take vegetables from the garden, they just boil them with no salt, no cooking oil, and the sardine that they cook is just not the normal sardine that we used to. So fortunately, we had donors who would come and give us food, and friends and relatives. So I only managed to eat that food once, but the taste was terrible. And you realize that there are donors who came from the Roman Catholic Church on a Sunday. They donated cooking oil, foodstuffs, baby clothes for those prisoners that had children and all. But unfortunately, all those things were looted by the prison staff from ZPS.
What's your proof that those goods did not end up where they were supposed to be?
The goods did not end up where they were supposed to be because my continued stay there, I never saw food that had been cooked with cooking oil. The baby clothes were not given to the babies. They only handed out pieces of soap, and the rest they didn't. They took them. And we actually saw them going with those things to their houses. And everyone was, you know what it's like in a jail setup. They're going with these things. They're going home with these things. It's something that I witnessed with my own two eyes. It's not hearsay. I was there and I saw it happening.
What other situation would you say really made you uncomfortable? I know this, the living arrangements were not good, the food was not good, but you mentioned that also there was another situation that you found deplorable.
The other situation was they were forcing female prisoners on remand to go and do hard labor in the garden, of which prisoners on remand do not do work in the garden.
So what's the way forward now that you're out? Are you going to continue with the protests?
The struggle continues. We're not going to stop until our demands are met. Our message is clear. We want Robert Mugabe and his government to step down and pave way for new leadership that cares about the welfare of Zimbabwe.
Time is not on our side. Thank you very much, Linda Masarira, for having been our guest here on the Women's Forum, a forum where we look at issues affecting women.
Thank you very much, Marvelous. Have a splendid evening.
I'm Marvelous Mplanganyahuye.
Thank you, Marvelous Mplanganyahuye. We hope you're going to have a wonderful weekend. Now to recap today's top stories. Some teachers say they back moves by civil servants groups threatening to boycott classrooms over non-payment. And The Voice U.S. contestant Brian Nira returns from his annual trip to Zimbabwe, telling Studio 7 his visit left him inspired and prepared for his musical journey ahead. That's our broadcast this evening. And stand by for news in Ndebele given to you by Chris Gande. This is Tatenda Gumbo in Washington, wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night.